There's a little story that's told about Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiba. Rabbi Eliezer long prayed for rain but was not answered. Rabbi Akiba came up to the town, offered a prayer of a few verses, and rain descended. A voice from heaven was heard to say, "It's not that Rabbi Akiba is a greater man, but Rabbi Eliezer remembers his wrongs and those who wronged him, and Rabbi Akiba forgets them." It's been said that forgiveness is a gift that we give ourselves for our own wellness, to free us from the past in order to move forward. Think about that. When we forgive somebody, does it change them? No. Does it change what has happened? No. Does it change our attitude about what has happened? Oh, yes, it does. Dr. Luskin also said that it's essential to recognize we have no control over everybody else's behavior. What they do, they do. We can't make somebody apologize. You know, I'm thinking about the idea of telling the little child that just hit his little sister, "Say you're sorry." He may say the words, but he's not sorry he whacked her, because she probably deserved it, right? No, that's untrue. We don't know whether it was deserved or not. Sometimes siblings just like to mess with each other. Indeed. We can't choose, we cannot change what they did or what they might do. All we can do is have control over our own behavior and our own feelings. It's important for us to realize when we forgive somebody, they no longer control how we feel about them. We've said, that is not a problem now. That's a very profound statement that we need to think about. When we forgive someone, they no longer have control over our own feelings. Because as long as, well, going back years ago, we had a little girl that was our daughter's age and spent a lot of time with us. And Mary, that was her name, she knew all of Joy's hot buttons to push. So that Joy would do something or say something, and she'd get in trouble. Because Mary knew how to aggravate her. Does that sound like a sibling? Sure, it works that way. But once Joy could realize that Mary was just pushing her hot buttons, Joy had the ability to turn off those buttons if she chose to. When somebody angers us, when somebody hurts us, if we have the ability to step back and say, they are not going to control me, then it makes a difference in our lives. Judaism teaches that forgiveness must be earned, deserved, requested, and be granted only by the offended person. You cannot, or I cannot forgive my wife for something that she might have said to somebody else, because I wasn't affected by it. So this was the idea that Peter was brought up in, the idea of forgiveness. How much can I forgive? And that's why he asked the question in the scripture we read. Now, the rabbis, they said, forgiveness, yeah, two or three times. So Peter, he says, I'm going to go way out of the line. Is seven times enough to forgive him? And how did Jesus respond to that? 70 times seven. Was he saying, oh, well, gee, obviously the limit is 490. No, he was telling the limit is unlimitless. You keep forgiving as long as there is a reason that you need to forgive. True forgiveness is not limited. We're not tied in specific numbers in doing it. How many times has God forgiven us? You know, when we come back, it's like, well, God, sorry, my card is all punched up now. You're done with me. It doesn't work that way. God continues to forgive as many times as we need to be forgiven. True forgiveness is forgiveness without limits. Sometimes we want to say, well, this is your last chance that you're going to have. And if you mess with me again, you're done. God doesn't do that. There's no limits on that. And Jesus tells a parable about forgiveness here, which says a certain king had a slave that obviously was like a household manager and had lost literally millions of dollars. It says here, 10,000 talents, which was an amount far beyond anybody's imagining as far as what they could earn. 10 lifetimes of earnings. And he says, all right, I'm going to throw you in debtor's prison until you pay it back. And he begged and was forgiven that great debt. Now, in Roman times, and even up until 1833 in this country, you could end up being in debtor's prison for not paying your debts. Now, how in the world would you, being tossed in prison, pay off your debt? It was a pressure tactic to go to your family, to go to your friends, to go to anybody that you knew to get you out of jail. And sometimes it happened to some very well-known people. James Wilson, who was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, he spent time in debtor's prison, amazingly, while serving as an associate justice on the Supreme Court. But he didn't pay his bills. So he ended up in jail until it was paid. Robert Morris, another Declaration of Independence signer, he's debtor's prison, 1798 to 1801, didn't pay his bills. But remember what these folks had signed. They pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, and some of them, it cost them everything that way. Henry Lighthouse Lee, Robert E. Lee's father, spent 2 years in debtor's prison. Have you ever heard the phrase, I've been thrown in the clink? You know where that comes from? One of the debtor's prisons in London was Clink Prison. And so that's where the phrase came from. But here you've got this slave with literally a $10 million debt forgiven. And what does he do? He goes to one of his subordinates and says, you need to pay me. I'm not giving you any mercy. You owe me that $20. And if you don't pay up, I'm having you thrown in jail for it. Does that seem sort of like a double standard in there, that he is not using the same kind of mercy that was given to him? Of course, true forgiveness is not limited. True forgiveness is not legalistic. The idea of we're just doing the act, like tell your sister you're sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, without meaning a word of it. Saying words that are not reflected in actions. How much have we been forgiven by God? More than we can imagine. When we take a little pocket calculator and add everything up, and there's numbers across the screen, what happens to those numbers when we turn it off? Gone. What happens when we turn it back on? Those numbers are still gone. That's the way God forgives us. Those numbers are gone. But Jesus is telling his disciples, you don't just need to do lip service on forgiveness. You need to truly do it from your heart. You need to mean it, that when you say, yes, I forgive you, that it's gone, it's done, it's over. A man had been telling his friend about an argument he'd had with his wife. He commented, I hate it every time we have an argument, she gets historical. Don't you mean hysterical? Nope, I mean historical. She drags up the past all the time. That's not forgiveness. There's a story told about a fella who had a Rolls Royce, and the axle broke on the Rolls Royce, and it was towed into the dealer, and it was fixed. And when he came to pick it up, he said, well, what's the bill? He says, there is no bill. Why? My car had a broken axle. No, it doesn't. Rolls Royce don't have broken axles. Their reputation was more important than just the few dollars they would get for replacing an axle. True forgiveness is not limited. It's not legalistic. It's not locked. We're told to forgive others in the same way that we've been forgiven. Do we take a measure of how many times God has forgiven us? Or does it just kind of slide into our memory and say, well, thank you, Lord, that you forgave me, gave me a fresh start again, and I haven't messed up with you for at least the last 5 minutes. But the scripture is very clear that whatever measure we use with other people, that's what's going to be used with us. So if we want to, when somebody asks for help and we oddly go by, that's what's going to happen with us. When we ask for a cup of sugar and we give them a thimbleful, that's what's going to be given back to us. Now, does that mean in this scripture reading that God is going to change his mind, that if you don't forgive people, that he's going to turn around and not forgive you again? No, because once God forgives, it's gone. It's like a whiteboard with an eraser. But also he's saying, if you approach God with forgiveness that is not real, then really, that's the same kind of measure that's going to be with you, that's not real. Judaism teaches that forgiveness must be earned, deserved, and granted by the offended person. Well, I know it never happened when you whacked your baby brother or whatever. But he's the only one who can forgive you for doing it. But forgiveness does not mean that the perpetrator is allowed to escape justice. Forgiveness is on our part. What he did or she did still stands. There's still consequences for what is happening. There's always consequences for our action. We can be forgiven. Well, the sort of thing when I spill that gallon of paint on the floor, they can forgive me, but it still has to be cleaned up afterward. In addition, Forgiveness doesn't mean that we just forget it ever happened on our part, or say it doesn't matter. You know, God gave us some brains, and He expects us to forgive, but also to learn from that forgiveness. You know, once we, well, like in a marriage, once trust is broken, there can be forgiveness, but the trust is really not the same as what it was before. Basically, what forgiveness is for us, forgiveness is giving up our right to personal vengeance. For us to make it right, we're going to get even. When we try to get even with somebody because of how they've wronged us, does it ever end? Nope. Jesus said, you've heard it was said, you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. He said, pray for them, not necessarily live in the same room with them. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, as far as it depends on you, as possible, be at peace. Part of that being at peace is us forgiving so we can change our attitude towards them. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Basically, when somebody wrongs us, we can forgive them and let God sort it out. We don't have to come back and be the heavy on this. We don't have to come back and get even. We can forgive and say, all right, I'm satisfied that God will take care of it. His way, His time. I don't have to do that. Let all that you do be done in love. In 1 Corinthians 16:14. You know, the Bible goes on and on as far as how we should treat other people in there. God forgives you, but will you forgive your brother? But also, will you forgive yourself? Sometimes that's the hardest part. We say, I've done so many bad things. I know God will forgive me, but I just can't let go of it. When we forgive ourselves, we can let go of it and let God handle it. Let Him take care of it. Let Him sort it all out. Sometimes the hardest part is forgiving yourself. Failing to forgive, unfortunately, is a cancer that just slowly eats at us and consumes us. Because we're always worried about, well, am I getting even or are they going to get back at me? Or I don't like them, and it just builds and builds and builds. God tells us we need to forgive one another, just like we have been forgiven. Sometimes we just need to take that bold step. And the person that we don't like, the person we feel that has offended us, the person that rubs us the wrong way, you know, sometimes that person that rubs us the wrong way is just heavenly sandpaper trying to smooth out some of our rough edges. But sometimes we just need to take the step and say, I don't know, step out and face it. I don't always agree with you. I don't always like what you do. But you're still my brother. You're still my sister. And we can love one another. And that's not easy to do. But with God's help, you can. One person at a time.